This is where we get to know Daniel. He says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. That is the key to experience the great blessings of God. Keep your eyes on Daniel. We're going to learn so much from him.
Daniel purposed in his heart. Even from a very young age, did Daniel purpose and control his desires that would otherwise dishonor God? We know how so many teens, many of us having ourselves been teenagers at one time, because of hormonal swings and lack of emotional maturation, would yield to influences that we would end up regretting later on. Now, this eating issue that Daniel had to deal with may seem like a small detail to obey, but it is in the small things day by day which we reject that allows us to withstand the urges and temptations of the much larger lures. And while some of us might think that the dietary eating was just a small thing, others would consider this great in obedience since he took a risk in the king's reaction in not eating of the king's delicacies. But by being loyal, even in the very small things, we see a Daniel who is standing up against Nebuchadnezzar, a very grand and important despot, having the courage to speak to him of his own upcoming doom. Where did such courage come from? It comes from faith in a God who we believe has placed us in such a position as this. Belief that the God who chose us for a task would also enable us to get through and past the lion's den. It comes from the step-by-step, daily dependence on God, who is in the business of raising up Daniels, even teenagers, young adults, men and women alike, to be what God, in His heart, purposes best for our lives. Welcome to Shalom Ariel, and welcome to our continuing study in the book of Daniel with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
What happened? I'm going to ask you a question. What happens to a man when he spends a long time with four of the greatest men of God in the scriptures? Let me explain. This man Ashpenaz was responsible to bring the captives through this long journey of about 1,000 kilometers from Jerusalem to Babylon. He was also responsible to seek and interview descendants of the royal seed of Judah to fetch the best of them. But in the process, he could not but be touched by the words and the gentleness of Daniels and his friends. It is like interviewing some of the greatest evangelists in history. Ashpenaz heard it all 4 times over and maybe more than that. It is possible that the man Ashpenaz is here named because he demonstrated goodness toward the people of God and thus blessed them. And in turn, God has his name written down in his book for eternity. This theory, by the way, fits so well the way God works in history. We do not know what the name Ashpenaz means. However, one rabbi sees the name as a combination of Ishpanaf Zorafim, meaning a man with a surprised face. I like this, actually. I don't know if it's true, but it suits Ashpenaz very well. Here he was confronted with a new faith, yet he was the chief of the army. How could he link the two? Ashpenaz, by the way, is a very good name. So by the mention of the man by name, we can see the result of what? I believe of the Abrahamic covenant always, right? I will bless those who bless you, God says. This man Ashpenaz had his name mentioned in one of the greatest books in the scriptures. What a blessing it was. And see that God never forgets what people do. It is now that we're going to meet these four individuals. They're some of the most exceptional individuals in the history of the Bible. Four of them stood out, and especially one of them, that is Daniel. Look at verse 6 and 7. They're named. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mikhael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mikhael Meshach, to Azariah, Abednego. Now let's look at the name of these four young men. Each contain the name of God. And you know what? Each described an attribute of God fitted for the circumstances, fitted for the book of Daniel. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means Jehovah is gracious. Mikhael means who is like God. Azariah means Jehovah helps. Twice the name of God, El, is mentioned. The name El speaks of the power of God and of his might. And here in Daniel, El is my judge. And with Michael, who is like El. This sums up very much the book of Daniel. As his people are among the nation, nevertheless, God is the judge. And nowhere can we find one who is like God. Even the Magi are going to confess this truth. And the other two mention of God is for us, by the way, for us, the believers. The name is Jehovah, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. It's unpronounceable, by the way, for the original pronunciation is God, right? But we'll say Jehovah. So the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is our God's proper name. This is his name of love, of promise, of covenant. And for those who are in this world with Hananiah, we're reminded that God, Jehovah, is gracious. And with Azariah, we're reminded that Jehovah helps. As his people live in a foreign land, as the believer today whose citizenship is in heaven, live in a foreign land as well, we are reminded of God's grace and help in every situation. These two names also sum up for us the book of Daniel, the people of Israel, even the believer in the diaspora. In these four names, we see the two sides of God, the two sides of love, the judge and the savior, representing the ever-present choice given to each man until they meet Jesus face to face, because everyone is going to meet Jesus face to face. These four names ask us this important question: who is God for you? A judge? That is what Daniel and Michael actually ask. Or is he your savior, even a treasure you have found? You know, the name Azariah is from the word raza, from raz, to dig, to turn over, to excavate, which we ask you to do if you're looking for God. Hananiah has the word hanan, grace, a thoroughly biblical word. Grace, we are told, is everything for nothing for those who don't deserve anything, right? Do you remember that? Let me redo it again. Everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Salvation is completely given to us freely. Grace, by the way, is such a difficult, perhaps impossible concept to understand because it's fully divine and it is free. And while they say that some things are too good to be true, God's grace is not one of them. Ask for it, and he will give it to you. And so who is God for you, a treasure found? You know, David sums up this for us. David also had all the riches of the world, if you want, right? But he looked to God as a refuge. He says, "For who is God except Jehovah? And who is a rock except Elohim?" Our Elohim. Elohim is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. Nebuchadnezzar, at the end, was a very smart man, and right on to seek the wisdom, the knowledge, the intelligence of the men of Judah. But he did not know that what he really desired was Yeshua. The other names given to these four teenagers, who must have been about 15 years old, what do they mean? Actually, we don't know. It's hard to figure out. There are many theories. Just like whatever is dark, whatever is evil, it does not make much sense. But it doesn't matter anyway, right? Because God does not recognize these names. He calls them by their names even later on. In verse 11, 19, 2:17, he says, Daniel, Hananiah, Michael, and Azariah, what happened to the others? He doesn't mind. And for instance, by the way, the name Belshazzar for Daniel is only mentioned 9 times. Okay, but the name Daniel is mentioned 65 times. You know, when you love somebody, well, you mentioned his name many times. God loved Daniel so dearly. In fact, the angel Gabriel, you know, 3 times in the book, he says to Daniel, "Oh, greatly beloved." But why did God like him? Why? This is where we're going to find out in verse 8. Look what happens in verse 8. This is where we get to know Daniel. He says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. That is the key to experience the great blessings of God. Keep your eyes on Daniel. We're going to learn so much from him. We often speak of David and Goliath to describe how a young man withstood and brought down a giant. There is the story. Here is the story of the young man who withstood a whole nation and prophesies its fall. It's Daniel and Babylon, or better, Daniel and Babel. By the way, this is the title of this sermon. It is at the moment when we read that Daniel, by the way, declared that he will not defile himself. You know, that God, right away, what did he do? He came into action. In verse 8, we read that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. In verse 9, God does not wait. There we read that God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. This is the beginning of one great truth we're going to learn from Daniel. When we have faith and demonstrate that faith, blessings from God will begin to pour. In this case, Solomon had the exact words, right? Proverbs 16:7, he says, when a man's ways please Jehovah, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. This is what happens. This is how God blessed Daniel, and right away, and with the same quickness, he demonstrates over and over, we're going to see, okay, how he blesses Daniel. This is the first of many actions of God, and we're going to learn a lot from them. It is only when we actually reform our lives or begin to reform our lives, it is only when we begin this transformation that the Lord comes and helps and blesses. This is when God becomes our Azariah, our help, our Hananiah, our grace. Daniel did not conform, but he transformed himself. We're going to see a growth here. And God helped him to transform also his surroundings and the people around him. See what great power God gave to a young man. And he's still at it, by the way. He's transforming us. Another word for transformation in the New Testament is sanctification. The teaching which tells us how a believer is every day transformed in the likeness of his Lord. But what exactly gave Daniel the power of belief? He did not know, by the way, for sure that God would be coming to his rescue. There's nothing in the text that tells us that. He perhaps expected it, but he did not know. So he took a very big risk in refusing the king's delicacies. He was ready, by the way, I believe, to give his life for something he knew was true. But how did he know? What was his source of knowing that God is real? It's very simple. Very simple. He knew the scriptures, and so he knew God. This is what it is. He had such a deep and true knowledge of the word of God that he understood that what was happening to him and to his nation, he knew by the word of God, was only for a short time. That it would last only 70 years. Let me bring you to Daniel chapter 9. You can see it on the screen. This is what he says. This is so important. 9:2, he says, you know, speaking of the next king, Daniel says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. He knew. The word understood, by the way, is in the perfect tense, which conveys a timeless truth that is from the very beginning, even before he was taken captive to Babylon. Daniel understood by the books. And which books? The book of Jeremiah, the book of prophecies. That gave them his strength.
Don't go away. We'll be right back with the second half of our program coming up just after this message. As we wind up for the second part of our program today, we would like to remind our listeners how blessed and privileged we feel to be part of your radio day. We pray that the messages you hear will instruct you, edify you, and encourage you to love the Lord more and follow Him into obedience in even greater ways. We are all changed by the challenges and transformed by the trials of life. And as we walk them together, we keep looking up to Him who is mighty to break down the walls of Jericho that stand before us and to hand over to us the spiritual victories in life. Yeshua has broken down the greatest barrier, the greatest wall that has separated us from God the Father. Thank you, listeners, for joining us in prayer and in financial support for this ministry. If you have it on your heart to give to this ministry, then you can by logging on to our congregation website at bethariel.ca. And if God leads you to contribute from the treasures that God has blessed you with for the continuation of this radio ministry. Shalom, shalom, as we begin part two of today's program.
Daniel spoke of 70 years. For him, 70 years were exactly 70 years. They were literal 70 years, not an arbitrary number meaning whatever one wishes. Later, when he gave the time when the Messiah would come, he gave the precise time.
Don't you just get so exasperated when somebody is late for an appointment? Whether you be the doctor or you be the patient, it's always best to be on time. And God has shown how on time he is over and over again with the many Bible prophecies that have come true according to their exact number or their circumstance. Though we can set up an appointment for our doctor's checkup 1 year in advance, can we really predict all future appointments and Bible prophecy with accuracy? Can we be date setters for everything? No, because it is God himself who has kept back a very important date that would lead to the knowledge of many other dates. You see, we do not know the day, month, or even the year of the rapture. Mark 13:33 says, "You take heed and watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." And even if we were to ever know the time of the rapture, we are not told how long after the rapture comes the tribulation. The tribulation can come right after the rapture or 10 or 100 years after the rapture. But once that tribulation begins, it is then that we can become date setters. And although we will not be here to advertise these dates, God will grant 144,000 to do that very thing. But speaking of date setters, we understand that it is in God's interest to set a date with each one of us, to invite us on a date, to meet his son, to court us, and show us the love that his son has for us. That would be the date of a lifetime that would lead to everlasting lifetime. Don't be late for the appointment with the great physician, the King of Kings. Do you want to be included in the rapture? Then set your mind on the Messiah. Receive him today in your heart. He is waiting to mark this date. Welcome to Shalom Ariel, and welcome to our continuing study in the book of Daniel with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
Let me bring you to Daniel chapter 9. You can see it on the screen. This is what he says. This is so important. 9:2, he says, you know, speaking of the next king, Daniel says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." He knew. The word "understood," by the way, is in the perfect tense, which conveys a timeless truth that is from the very beginning, even before he was taken captive to Babylon. Daniel understood by the books. And which books? The book of Jeremiah, the book of prophecies. That gave them his strength. This is what is behind Daniel's power, an uncompromising belief in the word of God. And when one reads the rest of Daniel 9, one will see that he knew the words of Moses. He quotes them. And he knew Isaiah. He knew Amos. He knew Micah. And he not only knew them, he believed in them. This is what the scriptures gives a man, a similar power, which will help him to surmount all kinds of obstacles and will quench the fiery darts of the evil one. Another question this test is asking us: how well do you know your Bible? How well do you know your Bible? Daniel knew it very well. And see how blessed he was. Wouldn't you want to be blessed like Daniel? And I think something so important, so imperative for today. Daniel spoke of 70 years. For him, 70 years were exactly 70 years. They were literal 70 years, not an arbitrary number meaning whatever one wishes. Later, when he gave the time when the Messiah would come, he gave the precise time. Even the false teachers in Israel knew to read the Bible literally. And when Jesus came, this is when false Messiah began to appear in Israel. And this is the faith that is lacking today. Very few believe like Daniel, for they're going full blast in allegorization of the scriptures. The dates and even many concepts in the scriptures today are allegorized. But with the coming of the New Testament, nothing changed in the way God writes the scriptures. In the same way the Hebrew scriptures, the Hebrew prophecies were fulfilled, in the same way the end time prophecies will be fulfilled exactly as they were said. Let me give you a few examples which will show you how far many have gone so far from Daniel's faith. For instance, when John the Apostle says that the millennium will be 1,000 years, the same spirit means 1,000 years, no more, no less. However, 2,000 years ago, They've begun to teach that this is arbitrary, a wild number, which means only about, around, almost, approximately, perhaps, anything but 1,000 years. And today this idea is spreading like terror. For the majority of commentators teach that this is an allegory, a method of indirect representation, a symbol. If Daniel was of the same thought as these, we would not have a book of Daniel. What makes a part of the Bible literal and another not? Were not all the messianic prophecies fulfilled literally? Jesus was born where? In Rome? In Jerusalem? Micah said Bethlehem, and this is exactly where he was born. David said that the hands of the feet of the Messiah will be pierced. Okay, Psalm 22:16. Jesus wasn't lapidated. He was exactly pierced as it was written. Of this literalness goes for each of the 109 prophecies of the messianic prophecies. Furthermore, Jesus himself took all the prophecies very seriously in his teaching. He never allegorized any of the even end-time prophecies. He spoke of Daniel's prophecies as literal. Have you noticed that once, when he was at a synagogue, he read from the book of Isaiah, and suddenly, to the surprise of the people, he closed the book in the middle of the sentence. Do you know why? Because the text was divided into his first and second coming, and when he closed the book, he says, "Today the scriptures is fulfilled in your hearing." He could not have read the rest, for they are reserved for the second coming. You can't mix prophecies like this, right? All of this is crucial, as we will soon look into end-time prophecies, you know, and we're going to see that many today are going to be less and less in agreement with the literal interpretation. You know, Isaac Newton, the physicist and philosopher from the 16th century, he wrote a commentary on Daniel. However, from his perspective, it wasn't such a bad commentary. However, he understood something very well. This is what he said. To reject Daniel is to reject the Christian religion. This is what he said. How did he make such a connection between the Hebrew prophet and the Christian religion? Right? Especially at a time when almost all the prophecies were allegorized and disregarded. And even the book of Daniel was considered unprophetic. Gone. And he further said something else I want to read to you. He says, about the time of the end, a body of man will be raised up who will turn attention to these prophecies and insist on the literal interpretation in the midst of much clamor and opposition. I don't know where he got this, by the way, but that's a very insightful and intelligent remark. As for Daniel, I believe that God gave him a particular prophecy, one for him. There was one prophecy in Isaiah which must have spoken to him personally. God does that. He does that. This is, you know, speaking to Hezekiah, God said in Isaiah 39:7, he says, and that was about 100 years before Daniel, "And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." This is exactly what happens in Daniel 1:3. This is why the Talmud says that Daniel was the royal lineage, the member of Hezekiah. This is why the Targum links Daniel and his three friends as ancestors of the Messiah. In the Targum of Ruth, when Boaz gave Ruth 6 measures of barley, they interpreted the 6 measures as being David, Daniel, and his three friends, and the Messiah. That's big. Daniel then had Jeremiah and Isaiah, and I believe that Jeremiah was walking with him. I believe Jeremiah went through the three walk to Babylon. And so Daniel had Jeremiah and Isaiah. That must have been enough for him to withstand the power of Babel. Even today, we do not need to be jealous of Daniel. God revealed his love to us the moment we come close to him. You know, I just want to tell you, just yesterday I read of a letter which was sent to a pastor. This is what someone wrote to him. He says, "Last August I buried my 3-year-old nephew, and the following week his parents attended your service with us. You preached from 1 Peter 5:10, and probably without knowing the reason you said, God had a purpose in taking your 3-year-old son, and that God would strengthen, establish, and settle your soaring heart. Those parents are now born again, but your message brought increased faith and strength. You know, this pastor did not realize what he said when he said God had a purpose in taking your three-year-old son. It wasn't in the text. Yet he said it to comfort these parents. And he brought them to a saving knowledge of God. Don't we have, by the way, a wonderful God who speaks to each and everyone in the way they need to hear the gospel? You know, to conclude, we've begun to see how the Lord declares to us the heart of man. Nebuchadnezzar was not a satisfied man. That's not true. Those rich people who have everything cannot be satisfied if they don't have God in their heart. The big successful lion sought for wisdom, knowledge outside of his powerful kingdom. For no kingdom can fill the void that the Lord has left in every single heart. Again, this king was rich, powerful, but deep inside, he craved for God. We have also seen this man, Ashpenaz, just one verse, but his name in the scriptures is there forever, forever. For he must have been a blessing to the people of God. And Daniel and his three friends carried the name of God with them. They are an example of God working in history. And above all these things, there's one thing I want to leave you with. Daniel's faith. His source was the word of God. And this made him a most powerful one in history. We'll get to know him better in the next few weeks. Let me close with an illustration. You know, have you ever wondered how birds go to sleep on their perches, but they never fall? You know, this is because of the tendons of the bird's legs. They are so constructed that when the leg is bent at the knee, the claws contract and grip like a steel trap. So the claws refuse to let go until the knees are unbent again. So the bended knees gives the bird the ability to hold on to his perch so tightly. Isn't it this also the secret of holding to the power of God? Daniel's held on the purchase of God, his scriptures, okay, and found actually that it was all true. There he could rest even though there was chaos around him. Let's bow our head in prayer. Again, Heavenly Father, we are filled this morning. We are filled with the music, the worship. Thank you, Lord, for our music team and for the time they're putting into blessing us. And Lord, bless each and everyone here. May you establish us as you established Daniel. May you hover over us as an eagle over its young. Spread your wings over us to the end that we who have put your hope in you through Yeshua Mashiach, will be to the praise of your glory. And to the congregation, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen, amen. May the Lord bless you all.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will he renege any of the promises he has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer a simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at bethariel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you and Shalom.